This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Collect the build.
Rootsol, Raspberry Blitz, Germany.
Germany is famous for its love of beer, and the country has more than 1,300 breweries producing over 5,000 different types of beer. Oktoberfest, a 16-day festival held annually in Munich, is the largest beer festival in the world. Do you dream of having a lightning-enabled beer tap at home?
Yes.
Have you ever tried to explain the Lightning Network to someone who knows nothing about Bitcoin, only to end up more confused than when you started?
Probably yes.
Do you think it's plausible that Satoshi Nakamoto was an advanced AI from the future sent to lay the foundation for a decentralized financial system?
Yeah.
DJ equipment has evolved significantly over the past years, from turntables and vinyl records of the past to modern digital controllers and software nowadays. Do you prefer DJing using software over the good old-fashioned way of using turntables?
Yeah.
I spend more time debating about Bitcoin's energy consumption than I prefer to.
Yeah.
Is 21 or 21 in German your lucky number?
Yeah.
I prefer a bratwurst over a currywurst.
9.
The 2024 UEFA European Football Championship, commonly referred to as UEFA Euro 2024, will be held in Germany. Does the German national team make a chance to win the title?
No.
Have you ever accidentally sent Bitcoin to the wrong address?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connected World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 73 of Connected Worlds. Together we are here, Steph, I'm here, and we have a guest. His name is Rootsol. Hey, Rootsol.
Hello.
Hi there. And this show is made possible by BL3P, the European Bitcoin Exchange, running in the Netherlands. Guys, thank you for helping us in our mission. And if you also want to help out in our mission, then follow us on Twitter, subscribe at YouTube, or if you have some questions, then go to our Telegram group and you can ask everything you like. And of course, you can also donate there. Let's head over to the highlight for this week.
Connect o mundo.
Yeah, Steph, this one is, this is really for you, right? The rings of fire, come on.
Yeah, the rings of fire, man. Whoa. I lost count in how many hours I spent on this project.
Crazy.
It's way too much, maybe, but...
Way too much.
I can't tell my wife, because then obviously she will leave me and and say you're completely out of your mind. But no, Ring of Fire, man. Yeah, Edward, maybe it's good for you to explain what this project is all about.
It's good to do that. Well, we started it a long time ago. And last year at Bitcoin Amsterdam, we also did a workshop presence on the stage there together. And we shown there the world. Because we have the world on the website of Rings of Fire. And there you can see all the nodes connected, all the channels. And I think we are now something around 60 Bitcoin or something.
Something like that. Yeah. No, I think a little less.
At that
less,
time, it was touching the 50.
Yeah,
so,
that's correct.
And now, of course, it's a little bit slower, but it will get there eventually again. What is it, Rings of Fire? Well, it's a community-driven project. That's the most important thing. So every member has a Lightning node. And if you want to get started on your Lightning node, you want liquidity to be on both sides of your channel. And that's where Rings of Fire come in. It revolutionized the Lightning network by solving liquidity issues. There are a lot of possibilities, but Rings of Fire is fun. It's entertaining. It's a nice way to learn, and you get connected to a lot of people, international people, and that's really great. I think that's
maybe the best part.
Yeah, it's the best part.
I mean, in my opinion. And I was wondering, Ruzo, you're familiar with your project. You told us in the pre-talk, but how do you manage your inbound and outbound liquidity? How do you use a service for it, or are you just talking to your peers to open new channels, or?
Yeah, basically, I'm very lucky because I know people like Fulmo, and they run a very, very well connected node. So if I just need to get something going, I take the easy route and open a channel to Fulmo. So that's my personal connection there. So that's a very easy way to have good friends that are well connected. Is always a good big win.
And also for inbound.
And the fun thing is because nodes don't think geographically, obviously, but we like to give it a geographic touch, so we gather all those people from around the world and then opening channels from different countries to each other. And again, it doesn't make real sense, but it's funny because you talk to people from the other side of the world, and then a part of just opening a channel to that person, you also get to know that person, and you hear their story behind why they need that channel, or why they start running a Bitcoin node and a Lightning node, of course. So I think that's, I would say maybe even more important, the story behind that person, and especially in emerging countries, of course.
Yeah, tell something about the situation there, or maybe they want to become a merchant, or just want to get busy experimenting. And that's really fun. And I thought
I have a lot of Germans, by the way, joining those rings, because I don't know, the 21 community is obviously the biggest community in Germany. It's good to have, good to keep that connection between both of our communities.
Oh, for people who want to know the whole story, because now we're talking about Rings of Fire. We also recorded that session at Bitcoin Amsterdam because there were a lot of Bitcoiners there who didn't know Rings of Fire or who aren't into Lightning. We recorded it. It's on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. Just search for Rings of Fire and connect to Wild. And you can also scroll in the audio podcasting app of your choice to October last year. And there is also a recording. And of course, the Telegram group t.me Satoshi Radio ROF. If you go there, then you're in the group with how many members now? More than 1,000, 1,061, I see. So that's
and obviously you need a Lightning node to participate, guys. And Russo, do you maybe have a piece of software you can recommend?
So to run a Lightning node, you mean? Oh, that's a very complicated stuff, I heard. So but let me look. I think I have a Raspberry Blitz.
That's a nice thing. Yeah, something with the Blitz.
it's very quick.
All right. Nice. Let's get into it, Steph.
Yes.
Conecta el mundo.
Yeah, let's give you a proper welcome, Roots.
Great to have you on the show, man.
Good to have you. Yeah.
My pleasure.
Hey, I was wondering, you said, we asked you, have you ever tried to explain Lightning Network to someone who knows nothing about Bitcoin, only end up more confused than when you started? And can you tell us more about it? I can imagine that maybe at some point you think, well, let's just not talk about Bitcoin because it's way too complicated to explain.
Maybe that's a little bit the wrong image, but I recently gave a workshop on running a full node in Bavaria. There is one Volksbank, which is kind of a traditional bank, and they now really kind of get expertise in Bitcoin and pitch this a little bit to their community there. And I had people in this workshop, and afterwards they were then telling me I lost them at one point, and they got a little bit more confused in the end. This is what I was remembering.
But that will even, because a Lightning network can make it way more difficult, right? Because there's so much in between, right? Just explaining Bitcoin can be all a pain in the ass already. And then you're talking about explaining people how to run a full node. I mean, come on.
So totally understand. It was really a full node workshop. So it was really deep down, kind of try to give them a good picture offered. So, and of course, I come a little bit more from the technical side when I'm explaining. I have already some good slides in there, but at one point it can be maybe a little bit too much there if you're really a beginner.
Yeah, and I was wondering, are they? Do you have still a contact with the guys over there? I mean, are they inviting you to come back another time, or?
You mean the bank?
There? Yeah.
Oh yeah, they now want to really run a node in the bank. That's at least that's the plan.
Okay.
So I'm happy to support them as much as I can. And it's really, I really like the idea of this community local banks that are really there for the people on location. That they become a little bit an expert on Bitcoin and Lightning for the people there. So I really like this idea because not everybody will have this technical expertise and stuff.
No.
So I think those community banks that are not Bitcoin. Big bad corporations that are really more like really on grounded there and always were caring about the financials of the people. I think that makes just sense to have those around have a well connected Lightning node for them to easily connect their apps to.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So you succeeded then.
I mean, we're on the way to succeed. And I have to say, it was not my, I was just invited there by another. Person there that did a great job of onboarding the bank. So I just profiting from somebody else's work there.
Perfect. Well, yeah. If you have to invite someone, you can better just invite someone who just created a piece of software, right? You said that you never have accidentally sent Bitcoin to the wrong address. But what was your greatest fail within Bitcoin? Lost keys, for instance, or
I will not tell you if I remembered or not, but I had a very, very hard experience. You know, when you do a hardware wallet, you can put this extra password on there.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yes, that's really. It was so simple. I was saying, I do know this password. I will not write it down because this will be a problem then. And I will remember. And then a year later, it really took me a lot of times, a lot of tries, and. Yeah,
a lot of tries too. So you must be sweating there.
Yeah. I was kind of sweaty there. I mean, I had the other words, so that was fine. So I could kind of restart testing. You could even start maybe on the brute force. I'm always thinking about brute forcing stuff. So
yeah.
But it really had me sweating and always kind of already wrote it off.
So interesting because this really shows that your strategy people might have could be very good, but you have to test it. And I totally agree. I don't know what it was, but I also forgot on one thing, a password. And then I thought, well, what was it then? And back then, I was always thinking about a particular password or making particular passwords. So thinking about myself, I don't know, 5 years ago, that made me come up with a solution. But it's
crazy because I also use obviously hardware wallets, but I don't do a lot of transactions. If I do transactions, I'm 9 out of 10 times I'm just using the Lightning Network, you know. So that one time that I'm doing a transaction, or I must do a health check or something, I always need to fill in my PIN, and I'm always sweating. What was it again? What was it again? I was like, oh, you know, and always that sweaty moment, you know.
Yeah, it's still if I send some Bitcoin around. I mean, not kind of small amounts for testing. I got very used to that. But if I really send a portion of funds around, it still gets me like a little bit.
Of course. Yeah, and the wrong address. It's a funny joke, of course, because it's so complex that it's almost never. I don't know of someone who really done that, but it's more probably you're gonna lose your keys or your seed.
Normally you copy paste the address, right? It's not like a bank account number that you just fill
or your paper wallet burns.
Ring it up and then but well, there must be someone who sent it to the wrong address, right?
Yeah.
And what's your background, Christian? Can you maybe tell us, because I saw your website, you have all kinds of hobbies and things you're interested in, DJing one of them, of course, but what's your real background?
Yeah, I'm kind of, I have a computer programming background, so I studied that kind of media informatics at Bauhaus University Weimar. So and I had then and media informatics, it was always like to think about audio and video, and I really got very early into podcasting there. I really saw this RSS technology that you can use to to send your MP3s around or let people subscribe to that. And for example, this one was one journey, and I even had a startup once in the USA, like about podcasting in the beginning. Didn't got rich, didn't work out, but I had a great experience there, some learnings. And after that startup experience, going back to university, I finished my studies, but then had this feeling I need to wash myself from this capitalist rush I was in, and then was going into kind of open source educational software. So more like on the open education area. There was a project from our university that was funded and searched for programmers, and I joined there. So I really liked the idea of have more material at school that you can use in a more open way. I really enjoyed the working on open source, but then found kind of on the way Bitcoin, and this was the kind of most interesting open source project kind of I've seen in a long time, and the opportunity to even jump in there, and I couldn't resist. So So I joined basically the Berlin community here, like the Room 77 crowd back in the day. Kind of well connected there for a long time then. And then finally we got into this crazy thing like that Fulmo started with the Lightning Hack days and then the Raspberry Blitz project started.
It changes everything.
And I'm curious because, I'm also into music and all. And have you ever thought of combining, for instance, with the project from Ben Ark?
Alan Bits.
Sorry, stupid and I don't know it. But it was not on top of my mind. But Alan Bits, you can play music and then, for instance, display a QR code. I think Cryptogravity did a DJ set. And then he displayed a QR code where you could tip him or something like that. But is this something that you're also thinking of bringing to stage? Or
it's in the back of my mind. There is maybe there's even a goal like by end of year. There is this big German conference in Austria, BTC 23, and at least that's my goal. That until then. Probably, hopefully, cannot promise this 100%, but to have something integrated that you can buy something like a strobo light, like make it blink or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great. But it took me a little bit of time because I'm video mixing on my PC. Yeah, yeah. So I was thinking like, how do I get the signal out, and then I have to put it through OBS to have a layer over that, and always a stable internet connection is always on conferences, especially when you're in a DJ setup late at night. That could be different, but there's a lot of things that could there's complexity to it, but I'm very looking forward to see what we can do there.
My dream is, because I also produce music and I release music at a record label, and my dream is, but I'm now retired so it's not for me, but it would be very nice to, when you have an album release, for instance, I was in the harder dance music scene, and we had all kinds of album release parties. And my dream was, I also talked to one of the biggest organizations here in Holland who are behind DEFCON 1 and all, but I don't know if you're familiar with those names, but it's one of the biggest organizations, I can say, of the world, because Holland is one of the biggest hard dance scenes in the world. But my dream was to have an album release party, and then with visuals, obviously, and then every track you could scan a QR code, and then you can just tip the artist for the track because you just like it, or pay a little more, and then have a download link to that song right away. You know, so if you think of, oh, I really like this song, you can just buy that right away, and you just download it into your phone. That's possible with Alan Bits. I mean, it's easily possible. And then maybe at the end of the night, when you like all the music, you can just buy for a lot of more sets, of course, you can just buy the whole album right away. I mean, that's always in my mind. And thinking, that's, when you combine those two forces, it can be really, really awesome.
I mean, we have to see. I can imagine that for a kind of dance party crowd, it's maybe not that They don't want maybe too much interaction. No. It's more like they want to do party.
Yeah, they want to be in maybe, the flow. Maybe,
they're maybe, not sober anymore, so they can maybe probably even not. Just not able to scan a QR code. You know, yeah. Yeah.
So think, but for a Bitcoin crowd or like conference crowd, I think that for sure that like they want to play while they're watching the DJ set, and so that's definitely something I can see. Yeah. I mean, we have to see what possibilities are out there, right? So yeah. And have Lightning like very easily small tipping things. Yeah. That's quite nice. So yeah. We have to see.
Yeah, with LN Bits you can go sky's the limit, right? I mean you can do whatever you want.
It's okay, a lot of stuff to tinker.
Yeah. Well, this episode will be about Raspberry Blitz. So but yeah, we prepared all kinds of questions for you, obviously. But it has to be in the 21 minutes. So okay. So yeah, if you are ready, Rutzel and Edward, my man, yeah, well, let's enter that part, right?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Connect o mundo.
Okay, this is so easy. Rutzel, can you explain what Raspberry Blitz is for all those beginners who are listening, perhaps, and how it works and what the differences are?
Okay, I'll give it a try. So basically, the Raspberry Blitz project, it's a Bitcoin and Lightning full node on a Raspberry Pi. So in its simplest version, so that you can run it from home. And it's a completely open source project. So it's not a company; it's more of a community. You can go to the GitHub page to the raspberryblitz.org site. Then click to the GitHub, and there you find a complete tutorial, kind of what parts you need, like how you put it together, and then you can download the software. You can even build the software yourself, but for starters, you can just kind of download the image, put it on the SD card, and put it in the Raspberry Pi, start it up, and then kind of start your Bitcoin and Lightning journey.
And it doesn't have to be a Raspberry, right? You could also use a Nuke or a computer.
I mean, it's kind of centered around the Raspberry Pi at the moment, but there's, of course, a lot of experimentation going on with different hardware, a kind of used laptop or a kind of a Proxmox virtualization home server. Those are kind of also stuff people are playing around. But to keep it simple and to keep it to one form factor that is most kind of tried out and experienced with, we kind of stick to the Raspberry Pi, at least for the next kind of years.
And then you come up with a name change or?
That's a good question. Ooh. I don't know. It's always a thing. I think just to call it the Blitz is a little bit. I don't know. It's come on. I'm from Germany.
Yeah,
it's
I was thinking about that earlier. I didn't want to make a joke. So
yeah.
And do you have a specific type of Raspberry Pi that you recommend? Or because you have the older ones obviously, and you're now I think the newest one is the Raspberry 4, right?
Yes. We started a project. There was the Raspberry Pi 3 around, but I have to say this is lucky that the Raspberry Pi 4 was coming out because it has especially the power boost that comes in so handy. And also a lot of more RAM that's available now. So I think with the Raspberry Pi 4, we really found kind of the minimum kind of hardware platform. The 3, I'm not recommending anymore. It's too slow.
Okay, good to know. And what inspired you to create Raspberry Blitz? You already told a bit of your background, but what really inspired you to start with Raspberry Blitz, and what was the development process like?
I mean, as I told you, we started then those crazy Lightning hack days in Berlin, and then later on in other parts of the world even. And the idea was basically the Lightning network was just going mainnet, so just kind of released and to try out. And we all think, yeah, that sounds interesting, but how does it work? And we just kind of met there and make a kind of developer conference for all the technically interested people and basically teaching it ourselves and explaining it ourselves and then start to experimenting. And you always learn the best when you you also practically try it out. So we some people already brought notes, but a lot of people haven't really set up a good setup. So we also started to see, hey, we try these Raspberry Pis. That's interesting because you need to have, basically you want to run it 24/7. 24/7, so all the time. It's nothing you just put on your laptop because you don't want to have your laptop run all the time. You want something that can run at home all the time. So these little boards like Raspberry Pi seems very nice. And there was a tutorial from Steadicus, like the Raspberry Bolt tutorial, how to kind of manually set it up step by step. And it's still there, this step-by-step manual, like really manual, putting in all the commands to set it up. Highly recommended if you really want to see how the sausage is made. This is really the tutorial for you. But the Raspberry Blitz then kind of started to develop out of us putting all those little commands into a bash scripts so that you automatically, easily, more quicker can set up the node. And this was basically the starting point for the Raspberry Blitz. And we did it in the beginning for developers to have something to play around, to develop against or build on, and also learn for how to run a node for yourself.
Cool. And if we take a step backwards, then we look at the Lightning node. What are the benefits of running one in your home, and why do you believe that that's important to run your own Lightning node?
I mean, this was quite interesting. I also, when I first heard about the Lightning Network, I was also thinking like, this sounds like there's some tendency to centralization possibly there. Because like with every central system, that's more the efficient thing. People stick to the bigger nodes. There's where the liquidity is. So there are some tendencies going on there. And there could also be to this point, it's not that problematic. It gets problematic when then this gets captured by corporate landscape, and basically they run the big nodes, and at one point you will not be able to run this yourself anymore. I had this talk with Elizabeth Stark. She was visiting the Room 77, and I was skeptical a little bit about this Lightning Network and how it maybe develops in the future. And she said, it's permissionless, really. Everybody can set up a node, and this way you can keep it decentralized. And I was thinking, this makes sense, and this sticked my interest. Mm-hmm. And then it definitely clicked when I was seeing like the Raspberry Blitz project to make it easy for everybody to run a node at home, to keep it decentralized. And we can talk about what's really the benefit for the person running it, but for the broader impact, we got so many Raspberry Pis now out there in the network. We're kind of forcing the developers to make the software in this way that it will always run on a Raspberry Pi.
So we can keep it accessible to everyone, right?
Yeah, and even if the Raspberry Pi is not maybe in the future the best platform to do it on, it's the idea to have it really to this form factor, to keep it in a form factor and in a size and manageable from your home, so that you can really enforce this decentralization as a principle.
Permissionless. That's the most important part.
Yeah, that's the bigger picture. A little bit the smaller, of course, you can ask, what's the benefit for me personally? First of all, of course, you can learn from do it from your home. But the good thing is you not just run from your home, you run it really from your home behind Tor network. So you really have to really the easy way to set up a kind of an anonymous Lightning node in your kind of protected area from your home, and then start. You can even develop it to a routing node that is kind of on the network and can earn you even some fees if you want that. But I have to warn, some people think like, I just buy a node, I turn it up, and I will kind of automatically always get Satoshis. That's not that easy. Even though some people lose some Satoshis by just opening channels, this costs fees, and then they never kind of get it back in fees, earning it back. So it's not an automatic money machine, but it's what you have to imagine, again, you can run a piece of this network from your home that is replacing like credit card networks out there. So you're having a part of a Visa and Master network running from your home, and it's your access to this network that you can design in a very anonymous way. If you trust nobody else out there, this is your kind of personal kind of access to the network, where you can choose your entry points into the network. You don't rely on a third party. The only thing I have to say, not everybody that wants to use the Lightning Network needs to run a node. You can really start with an app on your phone that's very easy. They're very approachable nowadays, and very UX is great on those apps already. Yeah. But once you get more interested in it, and all those little apps, of course, rely a little bit somewhere on third parties that maybe can see a little bit too much of you. if you want to have the full control, run it like on eye level with other people on the network,
yeah,
you can run it from your home, and we keep the network the way that it always that should be possible.
And what are some of the challenges you can think of associated with running a Lightning node, and how does Raspberry Blitz help users to overcome these challenges?
Of course, the setup thing, of course, is a start. And it's not just that you have a Bitcoin and Lightning node. It's also a lot of other apps that are available for you that makes it easier to manage your node. Like there's node management software like RTL or SunderHub, for example.
Yeah.
And then kind of other tools that you can use. And having all those tools set up in the right way, that it's always in a correct connected and stuff. This is basically all handled by the Raspberry Blitz software. So you really basically have just like, I want to install this app, and then you have all the install scripts, and it connects to the right places of your nodes, of your node. It all does that automatically for you. So all those kind of setup costs that you have for setting up tools, and then also keep them updated all the time, that's basically handled for you. And of course, again, we started a little bit more for the technical people. So this was all like, you have your terminal and your kind of SSH in. That's still there, and this will be there, I think, forever. But of course, to make it easier for people, there's now also a web UI. So that you can use your browser to control and manage your node, and to have all the little tools there. And that's basically the offering that we have now. I always tell it like you have like first with a web UI, you have a kind of clean car. It's very easy to handle. You basically get the basics very quickly.
That's right. Yeah.
But you always have the option to
open
up the hood and get into the mechanics and really. But of course, then that's all your thing. When you're really deep down and you change stuff, that's also that comes responsibility.
And you released the web UI not so long ago, and in the terminal there's also the menu, and menu is also a little bit graphical, of course, but from my DOS years, exactly. I was just like home. And but what I wanted to say, that it's not very difficult to understand how that works. But of course, the UI, web UI, makes it a little bit more spiffier to for your experience.
For people like me, as well.
it helps, I think, for people who are starting with running it themselves. And I was also interested the update procedure with, for example, other implementations. It seems more easy, but I understand how it works on Raspberry Blitz, but you have to install it on your SD card again. And for some people, that's a little bit scary. Can you explain why it is the way it is?
There's just something to, first of all, quick explainer. So when you start up your Raspberry Blitz, so maybe even you ordered a completely prepared one from a shop like Fulmo.
Yeah.
But once you have need to update, you really need to basically shut it down, take out the SD card and flash a new updated SD card image on it, put it back in, start it again, and then let it run through a recovery process. And then it's basically backed up and updated, and then you have your kind of old system state, because you can completely overwrite the SD card. That's not a problem, all your important data is on the SSD, so on the hard drive that you have on this setup. So that's basically the routine. Sometimes you see in other projects that it's a little bit more convenient. There's basically just a button in the web UI. You click to update, and then it does the update thing. Maybe reboots or something. But basically, it's just a click in a thing. Or you can even do an auto update. I'm not exactly sure if I saw this, but this would be the kind of dream of some people.
Yeah, of course.
That you don't need to do nothing and will just auto update. I think there's two things. First of all, it's a little bit complicated to have this kind of download something, write it to a SD card, reboot it. So the manual process also kind of makes it easy for us a little bit. But why I think to do the SD card thing is helpful because every time with the new SD card, we have a fresh system state this helps us very much in the supporting thing, because Raspberry Blitz is not a company. There is not a professional kind of support team that helps you, but there's a great community that tries to give you support. Yeah. So in Telegram channels or you can report to the GitHub issues. Maybe if you found a bigger problem, go to the GitHub. If you have first questions, go to the Telegram groups. And it really, really helps to train the people on this SD card thing, on this update mechanism. So it's a basic skill to run your nodes, that you know how to flash an SD card. And we basically train this on every update. And when you have a problem with your nodes, the basic question on the answer on the support groups is, have you tried to reflash the SD card?
I think the things you're saying now is important to just be able to do it yourself, because you're in that learning process. Running your node means also learning how it works and how you can manage it, right?
Even if we make it simple with the with the web UI or the rest, the one basic skill you should be able to have is like know how to flash an SD card.
Yeah.
Because this is really something you really need. If you run into trouble, it's the first thing you should try, because then it's a clean system and it tries to rebuild everything. And it helps a lot of to reduce the support load that comes otherwise on the volunteers there. And they give you their free time, basically. So make it easy for them. Not too complicated.
And for people who are choosing between Embrel, BTC Pay Server, or Raspi Blitz, for example, or some other implementation, what are some other key differences between Raspi Blitz and the others? Mm-hmm.
So let's take Embrel, because I think that's the best kind of comparison you can make. Embrel, first of all, is also kind of very similar, started like a Bitcoin Lightning node on a Raspberry Pi. They pivoted a little bit now. They offer even a lot of more apps to install, and their kind of goal is to be a home server so that you really can use it for archive your photos, home automation and stuff. So it's totally fair to be that they want to provide a solution for this. They still have a good focus on Bitcoin and Lightning, but they always have a broader vision, so to say. Like where Raspberry Blitz just wants to be your Bitcoin and Lightning node, they want to be your complete home server. And on the first sound, it sounds nice because the more you can do with such a machine, the better. But remember, a node is really there. You have really your money, your funds on there. And it's kind of a hot wallet, always connected to the internet, basically. Yeah. So it's in the tech vector somehow. So one strategy is to be more secure, is not to install too much on your machine. And Raspberry Blitz kind of does this from the beginning and not offering even you too much you can install. With Embrel, you need a little bit more discipline then to not install too much, basically.
All the appealing icons in the App Store.
Yeah, and all the appealing App Store.
Or Core Lightning and LMD at the same time.
I mean, you could do this on Raspberry Blitz too, so yeah.
Very but experimental.
It's experimental. So first of all, Embrel has a beautiful UI, so they come more from the UX first thing. Yeah. It you get this like more like Apple-ish, like Apple is doing Apple-ish, kind of products, more feeling. Yeah. And this is maybe even the separator. I think Embrel from the beginning, you have more the feeling of being a privileged customer, and you could even see it in the structure of the project, because it's a startup, it's really a company, and they got VC funding now, like a year ago, something like $3 million or something. So so they very set up in a different kind of way, so far it's okay. That's definitely something you can choose from if you like more being have professional kind of product. By a company, then definitely Embrel is a thing to go, but they are not open source. So, and even they try to appeal very open, and they even have a license, a software license that is quite liberal, like gives you a lot of freedoms. It's still, you have to understand, the code is owned by the company and they just allow you stuff. They allow you a lot. And the only thing they basically not allow you is to use it commercially. Their source code. But the code is still owned by the company. And with the Raspi Blitz, it's a really open source project. Basically, you become, when you download the software or you download the code, you really become also an owner of the whole system you're running, like from the software side. It's you can basically take the software, can make it your own. It's already your own, basically. You can make it even your own by doing building a company on it, completely fork it and replace whatever I am doing with the software. So it's really the way like Bitcoin and Lightning, everything else is written for the Bitcoin infrastructure sphere. So Raspi Blitz keeps very close to that kind of open source mantra and tries to be a community and tries to be open to decentralization. So if you want to fork Raspi Blitz, I'm very happy when you do. Want to build your company on it, do it. If you do the better product, that's great. And then we even can think about cooperation. It's like cooperating. It's not about being competition. I mean, sure, that's always a little bit competition if you do stuff, but I think those are the big differences. Maybe first of all, one example because I also did a startup once, so I know a little bit about those VC structures. First of all, you have to ask. They got 3 million and investors want the money back, like 10x. And
so they have to make money.
They have to make money. Yeah, and they have at least 30 million investors want to see back. And once when they got the money, they told the investors a business model, how they want to make this money.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from Umbrel until yet. And I have to say, everybody that chooses to use the Umbrel project, they should at least need an answer. How will Umbrel make money so that people can transparently decide if they approve this kind of way, they want to be part of a customer journey in this kind of direction or not. So at least I think there's some transparency waiting. And on the other side, and this is the last point because I already need the ticker. There's this, when even the developers at Umbrel, they started maybe the company, they're very proud of what they're doing. They now have an investor on board. As soon as they lose control of the company, this project can go a wrong way and they have not the freedom to fork it and do another company. If this project goes wrong, they lose their project and the only one thing they can do is go away and cry and maybe make it a non-commercial fork. And that's the maximum they can do. They cannot compete with the bad investors taking over if this could happen. So this is really why I like the real open source way for critical Bitcoin and Lightning infrastructure. Not everything needs to be open source. There's some stuff around. But for the basics, like running a node, like this is really the basics of the infrastructure
we're building here. Source.
That's really where this makes sense. And
the gong is already there, but I mean, screw it. I just want to ask you another question because this is a really, really important question in my opinion. Because what are the plans for you for the future with Raspi Blitz?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is really with the Raspi Blitz project, we really could see that we are very lucky to drive the community in and that it's very already kind of carried by the community, like the chats, the support, and also the contributors on GitHub. We see a lot of people at least reporting issues, helping on issues, and also like providing pull requests with new features or improvements. And we want to more foster this because, I mean, my figure was kind of still like a very central one, and I got in the past a kind of personal support from Fulmo to develop on the project. And now was the idea that we kind of try to get some bigger funds somewhere, like apply for some funding, but then more put it into more community kind of topics, like more like setting some bounties from features we think are very good, or having some more developer meetings somewhere so that bring the community a little bit more together. So kind of foster this community spirit that we developed over the last kind of almost 5 years and really have it ready for more decentralization in the project.
And you can also donate, right? To the project.
Yeah. So there is on raspberryblitz.org, you find a not very beautiful website, but you can find a donation. Works. Yeah, it's if you can find a donation link then on the site. So raspberryblitz.org. Very happy to take some donations and then distribute them kind of over the community in the next kind of year.
Community driven. That's what we want.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. Community driven.
Yeah, I mean, we have to see. It's a company. It can be great, and it can have great support and stuff like stuff. A community is always a little bit. There is a price of anarchy, so that you always pay a little bit. So just keep in mind.
Makes sense. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, Russo. We need to have you back on the show because this was real. The summum of open source. I mean, this is great to talk about that, and we had a lot of lightning questions, but. Some other time.
sure, be happy to come back.
Just 21 minutes. Luckily, we still have one question left for you, Ruto. We prepared three, but you may only choose one. That's the downside of it. But we have a question from Mo, and she's a Bitcoin design community and also Spiral grantee. Yes, the Wit, he is from Breeze Technology. And Henrik, and he is from Ellen Capital. So you may choose one of them, and then Edward will play the audio file for you.
Okay, so I already told you that I have a kind of startup history, so let's do the capital thing.
Okay. Oh, capital. All right, Henrik.
My name is Henrik Skogstrom from Ellen Capital. And my question is, who sent the first Lightning transaction on mainnet?
That's a pop quiz. Come on. I have to blank on that. So there was some things happening, like the first test that sold for beer, as far as I remember, was in room 77. Roast beef, I think, bought a beer from York with tested lightning, as far as I remember.
Okay.
And there was, I can remember really seeing the first time I was seeing somebody.
My
sending
name
a lightning.
Is Henrik Skogstrom.
Oh, there's you again.
Sorry. Oh, okay. So no. was not happy with my answer. No. I get it.
He's interrupting. No, but continue.
Yeah. The first time I really saw kind of lightning. Also, it was still on the testnet, but that was at the One Hacker conference we were. And there was Nikola was bringing a kind of first little box with a big button on it. And he kind of said always I hit the button. I send one Satoshi over testnet. And we can just leave it here and on the end of the conference, we just count the sets and we will donate to Julian Assange, or not exactly sure, or Edward Snowden, but at least was a good cause. But I really like this was really like one set. Nice. So this lighting thing seems to be something. So cool. That's far as I remember. Sorry for not being maybe historically correct here, but that's my anecdotes.
I really love the answer. Yeah. I mean, I can't verify it, but I really love it.
Соединим этот мир.
Yeah, really, really nice to talk to you.
Indeed.
So,
thanks, man.
And we are so short in time, so we definitely want you back in a future show, man.
Yeah, sure.
So, where can people follow you?
Basically on Twitter, I think it's the easiest way to do. So that's on Twitter, it's Rootzoll, so Rootzoll. So that's basically my easiest way to follow, like on updates and news. And of course, if you're more into coding a little bit, or at least if you're on GitHub, you also find, if you go to raspberryblitz.org and then you follow the GitHub there, you can see that the Raspberry Blitz is on my personal GitHub. You can just find it there, and of course give it a star and a follow and ring the bell.
perfect.
Well, thanks again, and thanks for everyone else to listen, and thanks to everyone participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire, and of course everyone, thanks for helping us in our mission connecting the world together. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running on Raspberry Blitz, of course. Sets flowing. No, you can choose for yourself. And keep those rings burning, guys. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Tot ziens, Rutzel.
Bye-bye, Rutzel.
Bye-bye.